Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 429 and there of the first stanza. With all my heart will I record thy praise, O Lord, and exaltation before the gods with joyful song will I prolong my adoration. And what follows, Psalter 429, the first stanza. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 1, the verses 26 through 56. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 1, the verses 26 through 56. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Nathaniel and Nicole Cluck, who were blessed with the birth of a baby boy. and Mr. and Mrs. Adrian Senior and Nell Hengstemengel, who hope to commemorate this week their 56th wedding anniversary. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Eternal, unchangeable, almighty, and most holy, most merciful, and ever faithful God, the creator and the upholder of the heavens and of the earth, then thou hast granted unto us and our children another Lord's Day. Then thou hast graciously watched over each and every one of us in the week gone by, in the home, by the way, at work, at school, wherever we are called to be. Then thou hast cared, thou hast spared, thou hast protected, and thou hast provided. And, ah, Lord, may it please thee in this morning, when we may behold one another's faces by renewal in thy house, to grant a broken and a humble heart, oh, a heart that may be warmed under thy goodness. Oh, perhaps souls have come up in this morning that are troubled with a cold heart, even colder than it is in the realm of nature. Oh, may there have come up souls that have begged of thee for a visit from above. Lord, when we approach unto thee, then we come with no merits, but we come with our many and great sins. Grant an impression of our unworthiness, and that by the first time or by renewal, that we may resemble in a little way that publican of old, on account of an impression of his manifold sins, that he dared not to raise up his eyes unto heaven, but that he smote upon his breast, that evil heart, where dwelleth so much iniquity, but yet with a pleading upon thy mercy, Lord, that is the only hope for us and our children. Oh, he was given to pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, Lord. We are all sinners in thy most holy sight. And then it is so indispensable that by the work of thy Holy Spirit, that we indeed become so, that we become the chiefest of sinners, and that room is made in our hearts for that precious mediator, Lord. We have heard out of thy word of wonderful things, that there were different ones. Oh, in a time of waiting, it was a dark time, but then it was thy time to favor thy Zion. Oh, it was the set time, and then thou was visited young and old with such a marvelous message and such a great revelation concerning the coming of thy Son. Lord, thou knowest in this morning, thou also knowest how it has been in the past week, whether there are those souls, that have so earnestly begged of thee, that in this season, that they may receive that special visit from thee, a further instruction, a revelation, and a further leading concerning thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom thou wast sent upon this earth, that the chiefest of sinners may be saved. Lord, we have heard of thy wonderful works, and thou hast written in thy holy word that thy remembrance shall endure throughout all generations. So we humbly beg of thee for the work of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, thou knowest how deeply we have fallen in our deep fallen Adam. And then also when another year comes closer to the end, we do not know whether we shall come to an end. But then we can be so busy with all the things of time and sense, and so little impression of that one thing needful, Lord. To that end we humbly ask thee, that thou may greatly bless thy word in this day, that it may be the set time, that sinners among young and old, that they may be wrought upon, that they may be stopped, and that they may be turned, that it may all become reality before it becomes reality at the gates of death. Lord, wilt thou so instruct, comfort, encourage, and correct thy Zion, so we commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. Wilt thou remember thy called servants, remember the student, remember elders and deacons, thou was granted in the past week, that our annual meal members meeting could take place, that thou was given yet peace and unity. And then it concerns a portion of thy vineyard. Then lots have also been cast. And then we commend in a special way unto thee, those who have been re-elected, Lord. Then we learn more and more who is sufficient unto these things. Thou hast office bears upon the earth, that need thee, thy dear son, as their prophet, their priest, and their king. Lord, in a special way, do remember him who has been chosen for the first time to the office of deacon. May his help and his expectation be from thee alone, Lord. Wilt thou grant unto us and our children more to be exercised with the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy great and worthy name. Thou hast blessed the father and mother by renewal in their married life in this past week with the birth of a little son, Lord. Wilt thou grant unto them what they cannot give unto themselves? There can be gladness, but that true humility and thankfulness, that must come from above. May they be given to sprinkle their little one with their tears. An impression of thy goodness where thou wast spared life and where thou wast given life. And may he be a little one for thy honor and for thy glory. Lord, we commend unto thee the grandparents, the great-grandparents, with their added blessings and their added responsibility. Wilt thou remember the barren ones, be a wonder-doing God. We commend unto thee all the mothers with the unborn. Lord, remember all the special needs. Wilt thou remember all the mourning ones in our midst? Wilt thou remember all the elderly ones in the evening of their life? And remember all the afflicted ones, the father undergoing treatments. May it be blessed, and may the callings be sanctified. Remember all those that struggle with continual weariness of the body, continual pain, many concerns and many fears, and may it all be sanctified, that it may be used by thy Spirit to show us that we have no continuing city, and that the temporal afflictions may be used in thy hand, that we and our children with our sin-sick soul may be brought under the care of that heavenly physician to receive the pardoning of our sins. Lord, remember all the handicapped ones. Remember all the crosses. Remember all the burdens. Wilt thou remember in this day, where there are so many upon the face of the earth who cannot freely go up to thy house on account of persecution, others in hospitals, in prisons, in countries that are torn asunder because of civil war. And, oh Lord, do remember that people in that country where there is continual war already such a long time, where there is so much death, so much mourning, so much suffering, so much need, also in the winter months. Oh, wilt thou use it, that many may be brought on their knees, that many may be converted, and that thy church may be given to make their calling and election sure. Lord, what maketh us to differ? Ah, then it is thee alone. May it be with all thy blessings that we do not depart further from thy word, but that it may bind us around the truths of thy word, and that it may be thy goodness that leadeth us and our children to repentance, with a great need to be washed of all of our sins in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help. Anoint us with fresh oil from above. Oh, that with joy and liberty we may be given to declare the wonderful things of the Lord. May we be given to listen to thy word with all reverence. Wilt thou open our understanding, our hearts, and may it be accompanied by that true saving faith which is wrought by thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance? Wilt thou remember those in their dwellings when they may listen along? Do grant them also a blessing. Lord, so we have many things to ask, nothing to plead upon. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. The Song of Mary, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. Our soul shall magnify the Lord, in God the Savior we rejoice. While we repeat the Virgin's song, may the same Spirit tune our voice. And what follows the Song of Mary, the first four stanzas. Thank you. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Luke 1, the verses 46 through 49. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Our text words speak of the first segment of Mary's song, magnifying her Savior, with four thoughts in the first place, the occasion of this song. Secondly, the glorification in this song. Thirdly, the rejoicing in this song. And fourthly, the humility in this song. The first segment of Mary's song, magnifying her Savior. The occasion, because at the beginning of the song in verse 46 we read "and." Secondly, the glorification, also in verse 46. Thirdly, the rejoicing as we find it in verse 47. And fourthly, the humility in the verses 48 and 49. Thus first, the occasion of this song. Beloved congregation, in this chapter, then we read of wonderful things. It was fulfilled in this chapter what the psalmist has declared, "But thou shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance to all generations, for the time to favor, yea, the set time has come to favor thy Zion." In the scriptures, for 400 years, we do not read of a prophet that has spoken, that has warned, that has comforted, and that has prophesied, has become quiet in the church. Does not mean because the Lord shall always have a remnant upon this earth, and in those 400 years, there was yet a remnant according to election that truly feared the Lord, does not mean that the Lord has not manifested his powerful hand. If we think in the time of the Maccabees, then the Lord has given wonderful deliverance. Nevertheless, it has become still, and it has become quiet. Are there a few souls that understand it and that have to say in this Advent season, "Lord, that is now my picture"? Then we do well to examine ourselves whether the Lord has truly begun, and that there may be those prayers sent up that the Lord may grant a renewed visit. Because in the life of the true child of God, then the last visit, the last speaking, that is the best assurance. And now it was the Lord's time. And then we read in this chapter that the angel Gabriel, that he was sent to two different addresses. And there were addresses where there were those that greatly feared the Lord, walking in the tender fear of the Lord. And then in Luke 1 we read that the angel Gabriel has visited the old, Zacharias and an Elizabeth with an unanswered prayer, where the angel has visited Zacharias when he was busy in his official duties with such a wonderful message that they would receive a little child, a little son, who would be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his name must be called John. Are there still souls in my midst that still have an unanswered prayer? Oh, maybe, as with a Zacharias and an Elizabeth, impossible. But we have read together that the angel Gabriel was also sent to the Virgin Mary with a message that she would become the mother of the promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that young Mary, the general thought, it is not written in the Bible, maybe 16, 17 years old, they were engaged, and then she could honestly say unto the angel, I know no man. May the Lord grant it unto our young people who are courting, that it may be the same. Then we can truly expect the blessing of the Lord. And now for a Mary. Then she was simply given to say, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. And then for that young Mary, all filled with that message, with bewilderment, then she had a desire to unburden her heart. That wonderful message, because she has received the message concerning a matter that has never taken place upon the earth. Then we see in this chapter that the child of God is so dependent upon the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that old Zacharias that has been on the way for so many years. Then he was filled with unbelief. But then that young Mary, then in a childlike faith, then she was given to say, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it according to thy word. And then it is clear in this chapter that that young Mary and that old Elizabeth, that they have known one another, that there were special bonds and a special friendship. And now that Mary had a desire, oh, to unburden her heart concerning that message of that angel. And we read that she is hasted, was a long journey, that not of straight roads, perhaps 100 miles. And then for Mary on that journey, how she must have reasoned and thought, how shall I now begin to tell that old Elizabeth that she was expecting the Messiah, the Son of God? How many prayers must have been sent up, and that she has asked, Lord, wilt thou now open my mouth, that I in all simplicity may declare the wonderful works of the Lord? And wilt thou grant by thy Spirit that it may fall in the heart of Elizabeth because what a message that would be for Elizabeth, that it would not fall in the spirit, and how wonderfully that the Lord has taken care of everything. Maybe Mary has thought, I go to now my cousin Elizabeth, and then I go there to listen and to hear, because the Lord has those Marys that there are many times that they love to listen concerning the wonderful works of the Lord, how the Lord converts his people. Oh, there are times we read it in our text, because I read in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and how the Lord has taken it over for that young Mary. The wonderful works of the Lord. Because after she has saluted Elizabeth, then the Lord has given by his Spirit to that old Elizabeth. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and given to speak of the wonderful things of the Lord, confirmed what the angel has spoken. And then she was given to speak that Mary was the mother of her Lord, the wonderful works of the Lord. Oh, how a Mary, in astonishment, she must have listened to that wonderful song of Elizabeth, a confirmation of what she has experienced. Thus, what a wonderful time it was in the church. There were people where there was room for a visit. How was that with us, congregation, in this Advent season? How quickly our time is going by. When the Lord spares us, then only one Sabbath after this one, do we think of our time, young and old, that we are hasting, as this year has already far run its course, so we are hasting to eternity. What a multitudes that have begun this year with us who are in eternity. They know where they shall spend eternity, and we may still be in the day of grace. And how is it now with us and our children? Is there a room for a visit? Has there been a begging in this season? Was Psalm 106 verse 4, remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, visit me with thy salvation. They are dwellings where many prayers are sent up, a bowing of the knees, a begging of the Lord for that salvation. When the Spirit works, then he uncovers us, but not only for the first time, but each time by renewal. What a privilege and what a blessing it is when the children of God, when they receive special exercises concerning special matters with special needs, and that they are earnestly given to beg the Lord that they may be visited with his presence and with his salvation that is now taking place in Luke 1. Oh, wonderful things have been heard. Then we read in verse 65, and fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea, that the Lord has indeed visited his people. And now in our text words, then we read of the song of Mary in the beginning of the New Testament. Then we read of five songs Mary is the second. And then she has waited till Elizabeth was done speaking. And then Mary began to sing. What a precious gift that singing is in the midst of the church. And that in the past centuries that gifted men, that they were privileged to put the word of God into song that may be sung personally in the family circles and in the midst of the church. In earlier times, then there was more singing. And what I mean with the technology, we and our children can listen to song. And then it must be good songs. The world, the devil also knows that singing has a great influence. And to that end, the devil and the world, they have the worldly songs with underlying themes to draw us away from God's holy word. Many people can tell us that have left the right path, that it was perhaps the beginning when they have begun to listen to worldly songs. But what a privilege that singing is. It is a means of grace which the Lord has used so oftentimes in the church. And in the time of the Reformation, then there were Jesuits that have even stated that more people were won over to the truth by the singing of the reformers, even by the preaching. The Lord only knows, but it is a means of grace. And now Mary and the true church of God, because I read in 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 14, verse 15, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, that Paul has stated, I will sing with this understanding, and I will sing with the Spirit. And now Mary in the song, then she was given to sing with the Spirit. Our second thought, the glorification of this song. Then our text words, then it is more personally. Verse 50, it speaks of the generations. The verses 51 through 54, that the proud are abased and the humble ones lifted. And in verse 55, it speaks of the covenant. When we read this song of Mary, then it has much resemblance to other portions of scripture that shows that Mary was well versed in the scriptures, because the song of Mary has resemblance to the song of Mary, but also many other portions of scripture. And Paul has written to the Colossians in chapter 3 verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then she has begun her song. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. First petition, hallowed be thy name. And then Mary, then she uses a special word, magnify. Our boys and girls, they know what a magnifying glass is. When we look through a magnifying glass, then everything appears closer, it appears bigger, and we are given to see many fine details that we otherwise would not see. And that is now the word that Mary is given to use in her song. Then she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. then the question can be, can the Lord now be made greater? Then it is clear that is impossible, because the Lord is infinite, he is perfect, nothing can be added, nothing can be taken away. Thus the Lord, of course, cannot be made greater. But when the first petition, hallowed be thy name, then the thought is that the name of the Lord may be made greater for our knowledge and also for our fellow man, that the earth may be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, who was so great, also concerning all his attributes. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Of course, our children can understand it when we have a magnifying glass. Then we need eyes. Give a magnifying glass to a blind man, and then he shall not see anything. Does not matter how strong that magnifying glass is. Have we received spiritual eyes, congregation? Has it become different in our life? Has God's word been opened? Has our heart been opened? Have we been given to see something of that great, that glorious, majestic God, a God that is so good, but also so just? Have there been times that we have been given to see more of that great God that has taken place? Then in that context, then we shall learn and see what sinners we are. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, to make room in the heart for that precious Savior. We need eyes. We need light. Was the vehement desire not to magnify yourself. That is natural man, to magnify and elevate that awful pride. But it is the work of grace, the work of the Spirit, that man is humbled and that God is extolled. What it must have been for that old Zacharias. We have heard that Mary has come in the dwelling of Zacharias, but has saluted Elizabeth. Do you know, boys and girls, what Zacharias has done? That he has looked through that magnifying glass the other way. That is a picture of unbelief. Then God is so small in our sight. Zacharias has asked for a sign. He has received a sign. What that must have been for that Zacharias. Oh, how the tears must have flowed when he has seen his dear wife and Mary, what the heavenly glow upon their faces when they were singing, when they were praising the Lord, when they had it so good. And as Zacharias silent, and yet as Zacharias did yet have tokens that the Lord knew of him, because his dear wife was expecting 6 months along. Thus, yet tokens that the Lord has remembered him. But now that young Mary, my soul doth magnify the Lord. That was her life, worshiping the Lord. How was it in our life congregation? With that magnifying, with the honoring of the Lord, does that ever become our guilt? But when the Lord works, then there shall be that magnifying. And then it becomes our desire that all people upon the earth would serve and extol the living God by confession and walk. Because the living child of God does not only a confession, but it shall be seen by a tender walk in the tender fear of the Lord, because Christ has said, by their fruit ye shall know them. Oh, that magnifying that takes place in the inner chamber when they may bow their knees, a dependent, a close life, prayer and supplication. Oh, that intercession for our fellow man, filled with thanksgiving, a broken and a soft heart. Oh, it shall be for that true people of God that there shall be confession. Lord, thou grantest such goodness and so many gifts, and yet thou requires a contrite and a broken heart. Ah, the true child knows of those times, but how often they need to beg still a blessing when they may be burdened with it, and when they may be given to confess the coldness of their heart, colder than outside. But now it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make that heart warm. Ah, do we not read of the travelers to Emmaus after Christ has appeared unto them in the breaking of bread, that they were given to say to one another, did our hearts not burn within us when he has opened the scriptures? Oh, so it was with the Mary. She was as a bottle of wine that was ready to burst. Oh, to declare the wonderful things of the Lord that she has experienced. Oh, if we would ask a Mary, Mary, can you explain it? Can you understand it? Ah, then she would say no, but in a childlike way, with a childlike faith, then she was given to believe it. Oh, that she would become the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore she is added. Oh, it is clear in this song that the church, that there are times that they may and that they must rejoice in the things of the Lord, the wonderful works of free and sovereign grace. And therefore Mary is added, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. That is our third thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 90, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. The Lord I will at all times bless. My mouth his praises shall express. In him shall all my boasting be, while all the meek rejoice with me. And what follows, Psalter 90, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. Yeah. The first segment of Mary's song, magnifying her Savior. The occasion, the glorification, and now thirdly, the rejoicing in this song. And my spirit, that is the same as in verse 46, using different words, a different expression, my soul. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. We read of Mary in different places that she was more a quiet one in the land. In Luke 2, when she has brought forth her firstborn son, the shepherds have come with that wonderful message. Then we read in Luke 2, verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Also, when Jesus was 12 years old, when they have sought for him 3 days, they have found him in the temple. And when her son has spoken those wonderful words, wish ye not that I must be in my Father's business. Then we read, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. Then this rejoicing was upon what the angel Gabriel has related to her, and also upon the song of Elizabeth, where it was confirmed that the mother of my Lord, and whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me. And then Mary, her rejoicing, not only feelings and emotions when the Lord works, goes not outside of it, but then Mary was given to explain in her song the vehement reason, the great reason why she was given to rejoice. And the Lord grants unto his people also much rejoicing. There is also mourning. There is sorrow. There is missing. There is grieving. All on account of that awful eye, on account of their sin. But young and old, in the service of the Lord, there is a sweetness and rejoicing that can never be found in the world. And when the Lord begins that good work, and then the bridge, it is true, the temptations can be many, and there can be many struggles, but then that people is given to choose for the Lord and his service, because there is such a sweetness found therein that cannot be found elsewhere. Oh, if we would ask a Ruth on the fields of Boaz concerning that gleaning, then she could tell us what a sweetness and what a preciousness there lie therein. But now a Mary, then in her song, she was given to speak of greater blessings. And then she was given in her song to speak of a specific blessing, because she has conceived and she would become the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is now necessary for each and every one of us. And that now takes place by grace in the life of the child of God. No, not in a way as with Mary, but then spiritually, then it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room for that precious Savior in the heart of great sinners. And to that end, a Mary could sing, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. Precious things declared when Mary was given to sing of God, my Savior. Then she was given to speak that the son she would bear would be the Son of God, as the angel Gabriel has declared unto her. If we would now ask that Mary at that time whether she understood everything, that was a different matter. But she was given to embrace the message of the angel that she would become the mother of the Son of God, and that his name would be called Jesus. And to that end hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. This is a text against the Roman Catholic Church, where Roman Catholics teach their people that Mary was without sin. But if we have no sin, then we do not need a Savior. Thus Mary in her song was given to declare that she was a sinner that needed a Savior, because that name Jesus, that means Savior, and a Savior is one who delivers from the greatest evil, that is sin, and bring us to the supreme good, and that is that blessed and sweet communion with the Lord. Oh, an Elizabeth and a Mary, they were given to experience by the Spirit the communion of saints. And that communion of saints floweth forth from the communion with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God, the Savior. It's already great when for a guilty sinner, when that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he may be revealed his necessity, his suitability, and his preciousness, oh, then such a one may be given to see such a fullness in the Son of God, that precious Savior, that they are given to see that it is also possible for them. But Mary did not say, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God. Then she was given to declare, in God, my Savior, with the faith given to believe that the Son, whom she would bear in due time, would also be her Savior, that has come upon this world, the gift of the Father, that sinners may be saved. Then a Mary was given to sing of a Savior. And a Savior is one, we have heard it 2 weeks ago, from Isaiah 19, verse 20, a prophecy for Egypt, a Savior, and a great one that would deliver his people. And now the Lord has a people upon the earth that learn experientially what they need to be saved from. Then in the first place, they need to be saved from their guilt. That is a heavy burden. That is a great debt. Have we learned it, congregation? How is it with our sins? Do we think about those matters? How is it with all of our sins which we have committed thus far in the year 2022? How is it with those sins? Are they still all on our account? what a great debt that is. When the Spirit works, then He shows us that debt. Then we become exercised therewith. Then we are found often at the Lord's feet, asking whether there is a way, because that people, with all their efforts, with all their working, and with all their reformation and tears and repentance, that they learn that they need repentance over all those things, and that their debt is only becoming greater. And then the question arises, Lord, is there now a way that such a one as I am may be delivered? Because sin causes separation, and Lord, I can miss much upon this world, but I cannot miss Thee, thus a Savior, to save them from their guilt. The second place, from the accusations of the law. Because the law says, do this and thou shalt live. And that people learn more and more, transgressors, actual sins, with a further discovery, also with their original sin, to be saved from a demanding justice. It's a justice the child learns to love and to adore. Comes a time when they may be given to bow, and yet, Lord, is there now a way that I may be saved? Ah, the Spirit, He brings that people a holy necessity. Oh, that people must be saved. The thought to go lost and to be sent to hell, to that place where there shall never be one song sung, O congregation, than all the psalters that we have learned, that we have sung in the home, in school, in church, they shall all come back. But in hell, there shall only be cursing. To that end, to be saved from the punishment, also to be saved from the dominion of sin. And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. People of God, how far can we come? Rejoice in God. It's what the Spirit teaches already in the beginning. Even in the way of uncovering, then the people is given to rejoice in that great God that is so long-suffering with His goodness for His wonderful works. Rejoiced in God. Can we already say the Savior? Or with Mary, my Savior? Be an honest congregation in this morning. What gives us the most and the greatest rejoicing? And there are many things upon this world that we may rejoice in. Husband, wife, children, parents, our labors, many precious gifts. But is that where our rejoicing stops? Or has it become our greatest rejoicing also concerning temporal matters? when we may receive a humble, a broken, a soft heart and given to end in the Lord. That we cannot praise him highly enough. And then a fruit, because there's much confession, but in the Song of Mary, then we have the true marks of the true work of the Lord, the true experience in the heart of a true child of God. And young people, do you hear it? We do not have to be old to experience those wonderful things. Believe that Mary was very young, but what a precious song. Our last thought, the humility in this song. And that is now the mark of the true work of the Lord. That we become small, humble, and that great bewilderment that the Father has given his own Son to be a Savior for sinners, even for the chief of sinners, that it is not only possible for others, but also possible for me. Because that word for, that is the connection to the first two verses, for he hath regarded, Mary did not say, I deserve it. I had such a tender life, close life, it's true, a blessing, but Mary did not mention anything of self, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. She lived in Nazareth, was a despised city. Even the province of Galilee in the north of the country of Canaan, looked down upon by those that dwelt in Judea and around Jerusalem. We read in Matthew 4, the verses 13 through 16, was a Galilee, Zebulun, Naphtali, a people that dwelt in darkness. Thus, Galilee was despised by the ones that lived more in the south, but even by those that dwelt in the province of Galilee. Because in John 1 we read, when Philip has found Nathanael and declared, we have found the Messiah, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Oh, and then Philip received much wisdom. Oh, Nathanael, come and see. And now Mary was given to be wonder that in that despised Nazareth, a simple girl, that the Lord has looked down upon her in mercy in the Old Testament, that how many mothers have prayed, became clear who the Messiah would be born from, but also for many centuries, mothers of the house of David, how they must have prayed that it may become their portion, that they would be chosen, could only be one, that they would become the mother of the promised Messiah. In this chapter, we read of two mothers exercised with the unborn. What a privilege and what a blessing it is when it may be so in the midst of the congregation with expecting mothers, not only concerning outwardly, but concerning the kingdom of God, that their children may be used to that end. And our Mary became such a wonder, the low estate. And so it is in the life of a child of God. When they are given to ponder over these things, oh, then they are given to tell the Lord, Lord, why me? Why hast thou singled out me to show those wonderful things and others in my family, maybe prodigal sons and daughters, turn their back to the truth, but others, oh, still in church, it's our place. It's where the Lord works those wonderful things, but not concerned about their soul living as if they shall remain upon this earth forever, living as if they have no soul. But now it is the work of grace, that bewilderment, humility, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, a choice. Maybe you can remember, boys and girls, Thanksgiving Day, we have spoken of one who seven times has called her by the name of handmaid. That was Abigail. We read of a Hannah three times and a Ruth two times. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, given to speak of the attributes of God, of the Savior, mighty, holy is his name, hath done to me great things. The angel Gabriel has declared, he shall be great. And now Mary was given to sing that the great God hath done to me great things. A Savior, and he shall be great. Oh, concerning that greatness of that Savior, then what a wide field that is. Could speak of his names, his natures, his work, his offices, his mercy, his teaching, his power, his leadings. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. We must close. And then in the way of application, oh, then a Mary, when the Lord comes over, then we have an enlarged heart, a desire for all people. And to that end, then she was given to speak, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. May we be given to humbly beg the Lord for the wonderful works of the Lord in the hearts of young and old. And then further in her song, then she has declared that the humble ones shall be lifted up, and the proud that they shall be abased, young and old. Where is our journey to? Have we now received by the grace of God a little beginning with that praise, with that magnifying, and rejoicing in the things of the Lord. Only a small beginning. A Mary. She was called upon to return to Hebron. Nevertheless, for a Mary, 3 months, that she would never forget how oftentimes it would be when she was given to reflect that by renewal, that gladness would be in her heart. Of course, in the way of reflection, the child of God learns that they are so dependent upon the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. Oh, then a Mary was given to end in that covenant which has been made with Abram, and that covenant stand as sure. The Lord is still gathering a church. May it please the Lord to grant such a time, a richer time, amongst us and our children. Oh, that young and old, in special ways, with clarity may tell of the wonderful works of the Lord. Oh, the Lord is still working, but may we be given to ask for a richer time. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we have heard of such wonderful works which thou hast granted in the midst of thy church. And then we have heard from the song that thou shalt work from generation to generation to those that fear thee, our Lord. Work then lovingly also in this day by thy Spirit. Wilt thou grant to the unconverted that they may be given to see how poor they are, not to despise the rejoicing in temporal things, but, oh, then to learn that with all thy gifts we have never truly be humbled, that we are such unthankful creatures, and that it shall all come to an end, that we are traveling to eternity. Ah, Lord, wonder-doing God, wilt thou work those wonders in this day? Where it is missed, wilt thou begin? And where thou hast begun, wilt thou grant those further leadings and more of that rejoicing and praising in the life of thy people, with the exercises for the glory of thy name and the coming of thy kingdom. Lord, remember the family circles to that end in this day. Wilt thou remember man and beast with the cold weather? Wilt thou grant traveling mercies? Return us in this evening our grant of prayer for one another. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 30, we shall only sing the second stanza. The law to me that fell is beautiful and fair. The heritage in which I dwell is good beyond compare. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following. At the meal members meeting held December 15, the following office bearers were chosen. For elder, Mr. Henry DeCock and Mr. Case Oscom. For deacon, Mr. Peter Grisnick and Mr. Vincent Finray. All have accepted their respective offices. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory before December 31. And there are two more blue sermon books at the exit. Psalter 30, only the second stanza. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.